Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'm going to invite you at this time to get a seat, pull it up to the radio, and turn it up so you can listen to your teacher. And grab your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible. In just a moment, I'm going to read the first chapter of the book of Exodus. We're in the middle of a Sunday school lesson about Moses and how Moses was called to deliver Israel. And so by way of review of some of the things we said in a previous lesson, I'll simply read the text to you out of Exodus chapter 1. Moses wrote this chapter, and you will see that Moses was an excellent writer, because what he read is so interesting to read, in the very way that he explained it is interesting to read. While you're turning your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by way of a Sunday school lesson that he wrote many years ago. This particular lesson was for the Sunday schools of January the 20th, 1924. And in just a few moments, we'll be going to Elam's Sunday school lesson notes. But first, let's do a review, and I'll read the first chapter of the book of Exodus. It begins this way. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. And Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they also join themselves unto our enemies and fight against us, and get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherewith they made them serve was with rigor. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of the one was Zipporah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the birthstool, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall be alive. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and that ye have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwife come unto them. And God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, and he made them households. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Let's return now to Elam's notes. I'm looking on page 36 of lesson, this is lesson number 3, the notes from January the 20th, 1924. We're familiar with the facts of the Ark of the Bulrushes, Pharaoh's daughter finding and making this babe her own, Miriam's watch care and wisdom, and Moses' training by his own mother. He was trained in the religion of the true God in a religious home. She repeated to him over and over the rich promises God had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the story of their oppression, and the cherished hope for their deliverance. This good seed planted thus early in his heart grew, and with his growth it ripened into fruit with his years. And the oak is as the acorn. What great possibilities are wrapped up in one child. From a hut, the slave's family, an ark of bulrushes, came forth one of the greatest benefactors of all mankind. Here we are reminded of the training of young Timothy, and how the faith of his mother and grandmother was implanted in his heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul wrote, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience. How unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy brother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And then later in this letter that Paul wrote to young Timothy, he writes in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17, Abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, furnished completely unto every good work. Every mother, every grandmother, and I would say every father and grandfather should look at the little children around them, their own children and their grandchildren, and see the potential that they could have for God and His work and His kingdom in them, and from a babe teach them the Holy Scriptures. I know sometimes it's difficult to struggle with little ones, carrying them to church, and I see young mothers sometimes so struggle with their little ones, and the end of the worship service, they go home almost exasperated and wondering why they're even coming and what are they getting out of it. And they may not be getting a lot out of it themselves, but I promise you those little children are getting a lot out of this. They're never going to remember a time that they were not going to church. And that will stick with them and stay with them, as these things did with Timothy, as these kind of things would have done with Moses. And they will be a blessing to that mother in the years to come. These mothers, these young mothers that so struggle with their young children and yet persist in their attendance and their worship until that young child knows how to behave itself during worship, and that young child then begins to hear and listen and absorb these things. I promise you, those young mothers are my heroes. There is no home so poor but that its children should be trained for God and hence for usefulness. I'm reading from Elam's notes again now. We do not know just how old Moses was when his mother returned him to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, in this story of Moses, we can see how human efforts and God's providence work together. The mother must do her best to protect her child by concealing it as long as possible. She must do this trusting in God. She must prepare an ark of papyrus to make it waterproof and place the precious treasure therein. The sister must do her part in watching him. Yet God is in the whole plan, overruling all. There is no common things with God. He uses a religious home, a babe and its tears, a little girl, an ark of bulrushes, and the incidental going of the king's daughter to the river to redeem a nation of oppressed and groaning people. Every seemingly common thing of life may be God's means of doing us good if we'll only allow it to be. We are commanded to do all we do, in word or deed, in the name of Christ, and every servant to perform his daily duties heartily unto God and not unto man. We read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and verse 24, "Whatsoever ye do, work heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that from the Lord ye shall receive the recompense of the inheritance. Ye serve the Lord Christ." Now Moses had to make a choice when he was grown. Up to this time, Moses' life had been spent as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, spent in school, in the king's court, in the performing of deeds of interest and of wisdom. Thus, for 40 years he was instructed and trained. He was mighty in his word and in his works, Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. His wisdom and works up to this point in history have not been recorded in the Bible. When he was well nigh 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, Acts chapter 7 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 2:11 says, "When Moses was grown up, his faith led him to visit his brethren. He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens," in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. He knew he could not help them and deliver them unless he should give up his position as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and ally himself with them. Thus, in mature years, when he was able to weigh matters and look consequences in the face, he deliberately made his decision. He did this by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. He did up to this time 6 things by faith. 1, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 2, he chose rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 3, he accounted the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. 4, he looked to the recompense of reward. 5, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. 6, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Later he ate the Passover and crossed the sea by faith. He cherished the word and promises of God until they produced faith in him. We read in Romans 10:17, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen." We must remember Moses' life in the wilderness, his marriage to Zipporah, Jethro's daughter, the birth of his 2 sons, Gershom and Eliezer, his keeping with his father-in-law's sheep, and we must call to mind the increase, bondage, and groans of the children of Israel until the propitious time for their deliverance, which is this lesson. We'll do that in our next class. You may now be dismissed.